good afternoon, and welcome to the August 15th edition of Lambda Week.
You're listening.
And I'm Dave Taffet. I'm here in the studio with LaRon Landis and Alex the intern. Patty Fink is home with kidney stones.
Mm-hmm.
Ever have those?
No, I don't even know how you get
them. They are painful.
Have you had them?
Yes.
Oh,
once.
Wow.
Once. Whenever I even feel a twinge in my back, I drink so much water that, you know, Patty, just drink water, drink.
I have heard that. Is it too much or lack thereof calcium?
Too much calcium.
Too much calcium.
It's a buildup. And,
okay.
Yeah. Creates these little grains that it's really
lay off the milk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And coffee and all that alcohol that she drinks, and
oh yeah,
she needs to stop her smoking while she's doing this, all kinds of unhealthy things that Patty does.
Get better, Patty.
Yeah, I feel better because that's miserable. Anyway, you can friend us on Facebook and download podcasts of the show at lambdaweekly.com. This week, the Proposition 8 people
It took some new interesting turns this week.
It was kind of what was expected. It was kind of what we had mentioned on the show will probably happen. He didn't do anything that the attorneys who are familiar with the case didn't expect.
Well, some attorneys, just to keep everybody up to date what's going on, of course, the defendants filed a motion to stay his ruling, and Judge Walker granted that. Then Arnold Schwarzenegger in the state of California filed a motion to undo that stay, and he granted that.
Did he actually file a motion, or did he just say, you know, we have no interest in
appealing
this?
No, they actually filed a motion to lift that stay. That's what it was, to lift that stay. And he granted that, but basically he extended I guess the stay will be terminated.
Well, the stay was originally issued through August 18th, which is Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. So on August 18th, same-sex marriages will resume. But some thought that he wouldn't, some from what I've read, some thought that he wouldn't actually lift the stay at all and just let this go ahead and go through the complete appeals process.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a little surprising that he lifted it.
Well, he lifted the stay, but in not lifting it until it was set to expire, it gives the appeals court time to decide what it wants to do.
Right.
If it wants to extend the stay, if it wants to accept the case, even if they don't accept the case, there's no
the case is
over.
Right.
If they do accept the case, then they can decide whether or not to have a stay until the case is heard, and that would be sometime during the session, probably this fall, or let marriages continue until they hear the case. So they could decide that. What would be normal would be to issue a stay if they're going to hear the case.
Right,
that would be the standard procedure.
That is standard procedure. And I would think, you know, if in fact they do issue a stay, then that's pretty indicative that they're going to take the case.
Mm.
But here's the most interesting turn for me. It's this possibility, some attorneys are saying, that this case may not even be appealable.
And that's the part that
the case
they hadn't
could
even
be
been
already
talking about.
Over with.
Well, why wouldn't it be appealable?
Because this case was against the state of California.
Mm-hmm.
And the state of California, i.e., well, Arnold Schwarzenegger and the attorney general, they don't want to appeal it. They're saying, okay,
Well, but they didn't want to sue in the first place.
They didn't want to sue in the first place, but it is against them. They represent the state of California. And the interveners, who are the Prop 8
supporters,
they want to appeal it. Well, they may not have any legal standing to do so because, again, they're interveners. They weren't the original defendants.
Okay, so
here's
my question on that. Why did they have standing to sue in the lower court?
Well, they didn't sue.
Or to defend it.
To defend it. I don't know. I think this, from my limited legal experience,
mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty normal for someone to, a third party to issue, they're called amicus briefs, to let, you know, the courts know they support whatever. That doesn't mean that in fact that they'll actually make a difference in the case.
But or is it possible that they were allowed to sue in the lower court or to defend in the lower court, but once they proved themselves in the lower court to have had no standing, basically they presented two witnesses. One of them admitted that there's harm. done to gays and lesbians. Mm-hmm. The judge discredited their other expert witness saying, but from his own testimony, he said, where did you get this information? And how do you know it's true? Oh, because I found it on the internet.
Exactly. That's his answer. Yeah. That was his defense.
That was his defense. So he had not done any personal research. He didn't have any, you know, so he was completely discredited as an expert witness. Okay. Right. But that having been said, there was a lower court case. That could be reason for the higher court to not hear an appeal, because they're reading this and saying, well, you know, this defense that's appealing, I don't know what they're, you know, they're not appealing on any grounds. You have to have grounds to appeal.
Exactly. And some of what I've read is the grounds is the fact that these Prop 8 supporters, they're not the ones who are going to be issuing marriage licenses to the state of California.
Well, that's the reason that the state of California is saying that they don't have standing
exactly.
to appeal. Okay.
Exactly.
But they don't have standing to appeal, so I'm still not getting why they're allowed, why an intervener would be allowed to defend a case. In other words, if I'm suing you and you don't want to defend the case that I'm suing you against, and Alex came in and said, no, I'm going to defend that, it's none of his business. So, Alex, go home.
Goodbye.
Right. That's where we need an attorney. I know.
And Ken Upton said he will come back on the show, but he wanted to see how some of this plays out first. So
this is all just kind of possibilities. We don't know what the next turn is going to be.
Right. And Ken was on our show about a month ago.
Yeah.
He is going to come back. He is going to talk about some of these things with us. But we were talking about it and saying, well, instead of you coming back and saying, okay, here's where it stands this week, here's where it stands this week, let's just let it play out a little bit. We'll see whether or not it gets to the appeals court. And if it does, he can talk about what the appeal is. Now, the thing about the appeal and the grounds on which they're most likely to win are grounds that haven't even been argued in the lower court, really. Because one of the things that they didn't present, you know, this whole thing was evidentiary, meaning it was based on evidence, not based on law. It's real hard for an appeals court to strike down evidence. They might read the transcript of the lower court trial and say that the judge left out some of the evidence, or that the judge misinterpreted some of that evidence. In this case, with the way it was written, that would be very hard to do. And with the way the defense presented its case, they presented nothing.
No.
However, the best way in which they could win is by a higher court saying, despite the evidence that shows that there is harm done to gays and lesbians, despite the evidence that shows that they're paying more for the same thing, like the cost of a will that they have to have that a married couple doesn't necessarily have to have, like the cost of not being able to see your partner in the hospital where a married couple can, like the cost of, you know, go on to all the different things that that we very often pay more for. But they could find that despite the evidence, the state of California does have a right to limit who gets married, and the voters have a right to initiative and referendum, and they have a right to discriminate in their referendums. Now, they would word it differently than that so that it's not coming out sounding like you have a right to discriminate and you can vote discrimination against whoever you want, because but what they could say is gays and lesbians are not a protected class of citizen, and therefore,
well, you know, I've the opinion, Judge Walker's opinion, is 136 pages long, and I'm about halfway through it.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of use this nighttime reading before I go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
It is interesting. When you say that, it's not like you're reading it in order to fall asleep, which is how most
No.
Most legal opinions are great for that.
But there's one thing that comes up over and over and over and over, you know, repeatedly in this opinion, and that is, you're right, it is very evidentiary. The supporter, property supporters, their main so-called argument is the reason why same-sex couples shouldn't have the right to get married is because it harms children and it harms heterosexual marriages. Mm-hmm. They absolutely have no proof of that. They have no evidence of that.
Well, and in fact, and I asked one of the attorneys I was talking to about it, since you can't enter new evidence...
You cannot.
The only new evidence that I know of is a study that has come out since this trial that showed that children of lesbian couples actually...
Do slightly better.
They do better.
Yes. Now, another thing that...
What he said was, while that can't be entered as evidence, that certainly could be considered in a friend of the court brief.
Right, right.
So,
and the other thing that Judge Walker repeatedly states in this... in his opinion, is that the state of California has no interest in discrimination, interest in not letting same-sex couples get married. Why should, you know, you need to present a reason as to why they shouldn't, and they don't. So,
but again, if it got to the Supreme Court, their ruling would have to be based on some law. And the law that they would have to interpret would have to, they would have to come to some twisted logic that shows not just because the California Supreme Court already ruled, and this is where the whole thing started. The California Supreme Court ruled that under California law, not allowing a certain class of couples to marry is discriminatory. So therefore, gays and lesbians do have the right to get married in the state of California. That's already been ruled and settled by the Supreme Court of California. So what the U.S. Supreme Court would have to rule is something that voters have the right to override a Supreme Court interpretation of the state constitution, and even if it is discriminatory, they have the right to do that. That's what the Supreme Court, that's the level that this ruling brings a Supreme Court ruling up to.
Well, again, this is all of, you know, if ands, possibilities. I hope it doesn't go to the Supreme Court.
Do you know the other side, some people from the other side, not the nom people, but some people who don't believe in gay marriage, are thinking exactly what you're thinking. Do you know why?
Why?
They're thinking this was such a badly defended case. California being California, they almost want to cede California so that they can go on and protect marriage in the rest of the country.
Yeah.
That's some of the talk that's been going on the right wing. That's an interesting position to have.
Right. Well, it's the opposite of why I'm thinking, but I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to go to the Supreme Court because the current Supreme Court just... Kind of makes me nervous.
It makes the other side nervous.
It makes the other side nervous too.
One of the brilliant things that Judge Walker did was he extensively quoted in his quotes of the Supreme Court, he quoted Anthony Kennedy, who's the swing vote on the Supreme Court, and he quoted him extensively. He quoted him from not just Lawrence v. Texas, because Kennedy was the one who wrote that, but he quoted him from Romer v. Evans, which was the Colorado case 10 years before that, which threw out Colorado's discriminatory legislation. But Kennedy was the one who wrote that, and he quoted from both of them, making it more difficult when it gets to the Supreme Court for Kennedy to say, yeah, I said this in this case, yeah, I said this in that case, but I'm not on your side on this one. Yeah. As opposed to quoting one of the other justices on this issue, and Kennedy saying, well, I wasn't with her on that one. But he'd have to refute himself in order to vote with the other side. That's part of the brilliance of Walker's opinion.
Yeah.
Now, I love some of the reasons that the other side is saying that this case should be thrown out. First of all, because Walker is gay.
Yes.
Is an openly gay man. First of all, he's not open. He has never said that he's gay.
No, he has not. It's just a quote-unquote open secret.
Let's say he's gay. That means, by their argument, that every divorce case between heterosexuals, every judge who's heterosexual needs to recuse himself because he's going to be biased.
Exactly.
Every man who's who is a judge who is ruling on custody and child support and other, and alimony, because they have big alimony payments in California, needs to recuse himself because
not
he's
only
on
that,
the man's side. Every woman needs to recuse herself.
And every black man or every black judge needs to recuse himself when race-related cases
right, so
come
Judge
up.
Judge Thomas, he has no business ruling on...
the big one? What was it? Had to do with college funding.
Yes. He had no business ruling on that.
Yeah, he had no business ruling on that.
Because he's black. And if a case comes up that involves somebody who's Jewish, well, that's three justices now that have to recuse themselves.
Affirmative action, that's what it is.
On affirmative action. Yeah. If there's a case involving, maybe some of these pedophile priests that come up before the Supreme Court, that is six justices now that are going to have to recuse themselves because six of them are Catholic and they have no business. That's what they're saying.
Yeah. Oh, of course they'll come up with some reason. Well, that's different. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm. Because this liberal judge who was originally appointed to the judgehood by Ronald Reagan and appointed to his current position by George H.W. Bush, this liberal judge who was appointed by Ronald Reagan, the saint of the Republican Party, has no right.
I hate to admit this, but some of our best opinions in these marriage cases have come from Republican appointed judges,
and it's not surprising at all.
I mean,
you are confusing the religious right with conservatives who believe in getting out of your bedroom, who believe in the right to privacy, who believe in limited government. I mean, Ronald Reagan's big thing, while he expanded the government, while he doubled the national debt, while he did all these things, you can talk about how much Obama has increased the national debt, but Ronald Reagan also doubled the national debt. From what it was under Carter, doubled it. All of these judges believe in limited government.
Mm-hmm.
Government out of your private life. And that's who Reagan tended to appoint to office, to judge judgeships.
Mm-hmm.
That's who, and that's why you have Ted Olson, who was on our side on this, who was the prosecution attorney on this, Ted Olson, who was George W. Bush's Solicitor General. You have the Republican governor of California now saying, just let marriages continue. You have a judge who wrote this opinion, who was appointed by Ronald Reagan. All of these Republicans are coming to the opinion that, when it comes right down to it, what's left-wing liberal about marriage?
Right. That is one of the most traditionally conservative acts you can do.
And that is coming from our conservative, traditional, married host of the show here. But it is.
It is.
What's more traditional than that?
I mean, the liberal way, especially
would be, let's do away with marriage.
Let's shack
That's
up.
That's my position.
Exactly.
Get rid of
exactly.
marriage. I don't care whether people are married or not. I don't. And everybody pays the same income tax. Two people living together, you each pay your own income
tax.
Right. That's the end of it.
Let's just shack up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now, there are reasons not to do that. If two people are married, they're sharing a house, it's a whole lot easier to do one tax return with one deduction for one mortgage that you're having. When I have shared a house with somebody, you can do any percentage you want. So, you sit and you figure, okay, if we do it 50-50, here's what your tax and my tax is. If we do it 40-60, here's my tax, here's your. And it's ridiculous. It should be. An income tax for a household.
We need to go to a break, but I got a question for you when we come back.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM.
Time to get rid of your old gas guzzler? The KNON Vehicle Donation Program can help. There's still a market for those old vehicles, and if you donate it, you're helping support quality programming here on KNON. Just call 877-KNON-AUTO or go online at knon.org. We'll take care of everything from free pickup to sending you your tax paperwork. 877-KNON-AUTO.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
Hey And this is Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM, the voice of the people. You know, this is always one of my favorite weeks. You know why?
Why?
It's the week after Pledge Drive. We have 3 more months till our next one.
That's true.
That was my 180th Pledge Drive by my count.
Oh, wow.
180 of them. And
that is a lot.
180 Pledge Drive shows.
Wow.
Yeah, always one of my favorite weeks. We were talking before the break.
We're just about marriage, as usual. You know, I had a conversation with a friend of mine the other night, and we were saying how, even though I'm married, glad that I am, I'm all for it, but I don't press it on. I try not to do that. I don't push it on other people, especially other gay people. You know, if you want to get married, fine. If you don't, you don't. But I am curious, if you're living in a married-like situation, you know, you both own a home, share all your bills, blah, 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 and you are a couple, and marriage was available to you, why wouldn't you do it? I'm going to ask you, if you were in, you had a boyfriend or a partner, mm-hmm. Serious, on a home together, all those things, and it was available to you, would you do it?
As much as I joke that I wouldn't, and...
And
I wrote a piece in the Voice last week, or online in the Voice, called "Ruining Meaningless Sex," as it's existed for gay people since biblical times. I would consider it. I think the main reasons people don't is the messiness of breaking up. If you're going to,
I get that.
Some of the messiness of it. Of do I really want to feel like I'm tied to that person. And,
well,
you know, and part of it with me, I think, is, you know, I've gone this long without, do I really want to do that now?
And I get those. They're good, valid reasons.
No, the second one isn't a valid reason. That second one is maybe a, I don't really have that person to really think that I want to do that with.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
But I guess where I'm going with this is, I don't understand why you wouldn't do it, knowing the repercussions if something were to happen, mm-hmm. and you know, if you're not married, then you want it to be expected to be treated like you're married.
Okay, Miguel and I were going to go until I got my insurance situation settled recently. Not that recently, but the last time I was having a problem with getting insurance, we were going to go to Austin and get a domestic partnership.
Right.
Registering with the city so that we could present it to his company so that I could go on his
insurance.
On his insurance, yeah, yeah. So would I have done that? Sure. As a strictly...
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm not talking about love or anything. I'm just mean...
You're talking about the stuff that...
Real life things that come up, you
know?
The
stuff that Aaron and Patty always go, oh, stop talking about taxes.
Exactly, you
know?
Yeah,
that stuff, yeah.
If one of them were to get sick... Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, you go to the hospital and they deny you. Mm-hmm. So are you married? Well, no, we're not. Well, okay, then don't complain.
Exactly.
When, you know.
Exactly.
That's what I mean by I'm like, okay, why wouldn't you?
Right.
You know.
I'm right with you on that, sure.
Yeah. If it's available to you, mm-hmm. and you know the repercussions of you not being legally married, you know, well, then don't complain.
And what are the reasons that some people aren't now? Well, because it's not recognized federally and you can't do
your
taxes together and you don't get Social Security benefits. And lots of companies, like your insurance company and other things, are not going to recognize it.
Exactly.
So there are lots of reasons to just kind of go, reason to.
Right.
So right now.
Right now.
Yeah. And I know what you're saying. You're saying nationally. Why don't we go to the entertainment report? And then we have one story that I think we're going to rant and rave about for a while at the end of the entertainment report. So we'll start with the regular entertainment report right now.
All right. All right, some of this is week-old news, but, you know, we didn't do an intimate report last week. But I'll start with Portia de Rossi. This is actually this week's news. And she must have listened to our show last week, David, because...
I think she was.
Now she's come out with an announcement that she wants to change her last name and take Ellen's last name, which will go from Portia de Rossi to Portia DeGeneres. Mm-hmm. So,
and do you know what her real name is? Because Portia de Rossi is not her real name.
You know, I don't
Amanda
have her...
Amanda Rogers.
But, yes. Yes. So.
So she's changed her name before.
Yes.
You know, when I was talking to some of the couples who had changed their names,
mm-hmm.
in deciding who was going to change their name, in a couple of cases, if it was women,
mm-hmm.
the one who'd been married to a man before, and so she wasn't real stuck on her name anyway. The person who had less of a career.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, and I don't mean less of a career. That's a bad way to put it. But didn't have a professional corporation in her name already,
or a career that hinged on your name.
On your name, right?
Yeah, and Ellen, that's different. Yeah,
you know, Ellen does.
Yes,
in that's the show. And
I mean, she could change it to Ellen DeRossi, but she's known. It's a brand now.
Yeah.
It's a brand
now. And that's what I meant by it. Not that they have less of a career, but less of a career that's tied to the name.
Yeah.
You know, one attorney that I spoke to, you know, she said, you know, I already have a professional corporation in my name. It would, not that you can't change the corporation's name, but then you have to rebrand yourself. It's re-advertising.
Exactly.
It's, you know, getting into, you know, it would have been extra work to do that. And, I mean, chances are Portia de Rossi professionally will be still Portia de Rossi.
Probably.
Your legal name and your SAG card name are two different things.
Yeah, but we have seen celebrities, female celebrities, who have changed their stage name when
That's
they got
true.
Married. And when they got divorced, they went back
like
to
Roseanne.
Exactly, Roseanne. It was Roseanne Arnold for the longest time. I think one of the most famous ones is Tina Turner. She didn't drop her name when she divorced Ike Turner,
right.
You know, because she'd already made a name for herself, mm-hmm. as Tina Turner. So,
right, but Alex the Intern, when he becomes his own radio show and, you know, and goes on to, you know, national
uh-huh.
show, he'll still be, this is the Alex the Intern
Alex
show.
Alex the Intern show, yeah. Well, she filed the papers in the L.A. County Superior Court last week. As we've talked about before, the judge is expected to approve the request, as most name changes are.
Yeah, most are. The only reasons they would be denied would be if you got a homophobic judge.
Mm-hmm.
In the state of Texas, a judge can deny it based on the fact... they can deny it if you're trying to perpetrate a fraud, basically.
Right.
And the fraud would be... And you have to go through a credit check and a background check
mm-hmm.
to make sure that you're not hiding from a felony of
exactly.
any sort. But also to make sure that you're not trying to, not hiding from creditors,
mm-hmm.
but also that you're not, you know, perpetrating a fraud. And the fraud would be, and they will not grant it, if you go into court to say, I want to present us as a married couple.
Right.
Since it's not legal to be married. So you can go in and say things like, well, it's just easier if our household has one name. But even that, judges don't generally, or attorneys don't recommend. They usually give as the reason, because you have to give a reason for your name change, something more innocuous like, I just want to have my own new identity.
Right. Right.
You know, I don't like the name, the family.
From
I have no connection to my family.
From what I've understood, I think one of the most common reasons and easiest reason to get your name changed is to simply say, I don't like it. Mm-hmm. I don't like my birth name, mm-hmm. and I want to change it.
Right.
And as long as it's not something vulgar that you want to change it to,
no. It
they'll
to
usually grant it.
Or I don't want to, I don't like the connection it has with my family. I want
something,
an independent
exactly.
identity from my birth family. And that works.
Mm-hmm. Some other good celebrity gay couple news. Neil Patrick Harris and his longtime partner David Burka have announced they are expecting twins this coming October. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy for them. I guess they found a surrogacy agency and not too long ago, and boom, it happened. Mm-hmm. It happened pretty quick for them.
Right.
I guess they've been listening to this show also.
Must have.
See what kind of effect Lambda Weekly has?
We did. Well, we're going to talk about in a minute something where we really had an effect.
Oh, yeah. There's been some talk for a while now that Rosie O'Donnell might be returning to daytime TV, and now it's been confirmed. But where she's going is the surprise. It's been confirmed that Rosie will launch a new daytime talk show on Oprah's new OWN network. That's the Oprah Winfrey Network. The show will be a daytime one-hour daily show based in New York. I guess similar to her other show that she had on.
Sure, why not? It was successful.
It was very successful.
I mean, she walked away from it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like the ratings were down.
Yeah. The new season.
How long do you think it'll last?
I don't know. She has bounced around from job to job.
She doesn't have a history
of staying.
She does have a history of doing a very good show. And then, it's done.
I think she gets bored easily.
I do too.
She gets bored. But you know what? With Oprah, it might be a little different. She might say, hey, look, I really want... Are you in this for the long haul? At least give me 3, 4, 5 years.
I was going to say.
It might be a little different with her.
I think it'll be 3 years. It might be 5 years. I don't expect it to be any longer than that.
Yeah.
And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
To be a successful whatever... You don't have to be like us and be on the air for 27 years. Is that what it is? 27, 28?
Yeah.
Okay. Since 1983.
Three.
Okay, so that's what, 20...
But when in 1983? I should
September.
Know this.
September.
Oh,
we're coming
right.
up on the...
That's right.
We actually just had 2 weeks ago our actual anniversary of first show, but the real on the air every week started in September
of 1983.
Of 1983. So you don't have to do that. Of course, that makes us better than she is, but or older and more. But there's nothing wrong with saying I'm going to do a show for 3 years, and then time for something new.
Right. The new season of ABC's hit show Modern Family starts also in September, and this is just the second season. You can expect to see much more of the gay couple, Mitchell and Cameron, which includes a guest star appearance by Nathan Lane. I'm looking forward to this. He's going to play a flamboyant older, like that's a stretch for him, flamboyant older friend of the couple who comes to visit. The show's producer said he wouldn't go into detail about the plot, but Nathan Lane's casting was perfect to pass up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can't believe, again, I thought that had been on more than one season.
No.
So this is just the second season coming out.
Now, they're going to show more of them, they're saying.
Yeah.
I thought they were the...
No. I mean, they show them, but if there's a lead in that show, it's
Ed O'Neill. It's the father.
No, I wouldn't even say it's him. It's the...
You think
his
it's
daughter.
The sister?
Yes, the sister.
Huh.
With the two kids. No, three kids.
Well, only because there are more of them in that family, but... Because they have three kids, and it's a married couple, as opposed to the gay couple with a baby.
With a baby.
And the parents who have one kid.
Uh-huh.
But I thought that they got...
It's not that they don't get... You don't ever see them, but if you want to chop it up, I would think that the sister gets most of the... Her and her family gets most of the time.
Oh,
and, you know, there's been a big push also for Cameron and Mitchell to show them more affectionate with a kiss. There's been a big write-in campaign, or a big Facebook campaign about that.
Hmm.
So maybe we'll finally see that. I don't really care or not.
that's one of those things. With Will and Grace, Will was a schnook who couldn't even get a date. These two, though, to me, they play the couple so well. I think they are affectionate. In their own way. I think they're very affectionate. I think they show a couple so well, especially Eric Stone Street, who's straight.
Yes.
I love him. I think, and we need to get him on this show.
We should.
The two of them, we really need to. I'm going to start working on that.
We need to get the other one on because he's from Texas.
Oh, that's right. He is.
Yeah.
He went to high school in Richardson, didn't he?
Richardson or Plano, one of them.
Oh, I think it was Richardson.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Of course, we need to get them on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I think the kiss part of it is gratuitous. In that they portray this couple, a loving couple. There is no question that they're a good couple. Whereas with Will, it's like. Okay, what is this relationship with Grace? What is the okay?
Well, see, that's the complaint from some of the fans. Yes, they are married, and they have the other two married couples on the show. You show them kiss all the time.
Okay,
you know,
and that's interesting.
Why don't you show the gay couple?
I love this show, and
it's a good show.
But I think they are so good that I haven't even noticed that. Because to me, there are other ways of showing. Not just affection, but to show a couple as a couple.
Right. Well, I think, I don't know, they kind of, I don't know, I guess this Facebook campaign has kind of somewhat trying to accuse ABC of being homophobic, and that's not true, because ABC always leads the way in gay and lesbian characters on TV, and they always show them kiss on other shows.
I don't get that homophobic.
I have to defend
this
ABC
couple
on this
is
one.
Portrayed so well.
Yeah,
that you know you don't have to be graphic in order to be really accurate.
Right,
and to me they are the most accurate portrayal of a gay couple that I have ever seen.
You know, they're a little over the top, but it's funny.
You know what? It's television.
It is.
It is entertainment.
Especially with that daughter of theirs.
But they're a little bit over the top.
Right.
I mean, to me... Okay, want an example of over the top?
Don't you dare say that Danny and I are over the top.
Not you two. Two friends of mine.
Okay.
One of them is a doctor. One of them is a teacher. The one who's the doctor is, you know, the most straight-looking whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The one who's the teacher... Do you know who Quentin Crisp is?
Yes.
Okay,
I do.
And you know how flamboyantly he dresses?
Yeah, very androgynous.
Well, Scotty, you know, with the hats and the scarves and the everything, and, you know, it's like people look forward to seeing Scotty to see what is he going to be wearing this week. Okay, so they're on a foreign, on a trip, a cruise overseas. They get back, they're going through customs, and Jeff said, they are, you know, they're just questioning him, and it's like, you know, to get through customs in the United States, he's a doctor, right?
Mm-hmm.
A respected doctor. They said, you know, well, did you travel alone? And he pointed over, because they're not a couple, but they travel together. He pointed over at Scotty, who he said had on the white hat and a flowing scarf, and, you know, he was dressed to the hilt for travel, as you would expect a prima donna to be traveling in the 1950s, when he was, you know, with his steamer case.
Uh-huh.
And he pointed, no, I'm with him. And they said, oh, okay, you can go through. So, you know, you can have flamboyant. And,
you can. I have no problems with them.
Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah.
To me, they are so well portrayed.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Over the top.
They are a little over the top, but that's them, and that's what makes it fun.
You know, they're not over the top unbelievable over the top.
No, they're not. They're
over the top great entertainment.
It is.
Over the top, yeah.
Yeah. They're over the top in that they kind of overreact sometimes. That's what I mean, really.
Okay,
like, did you see the episode where their daughter said mama?
Yes.
And they flipped out.
Well, but a better example, when they lock Lily in the car...
Yes.
And they're hysterical. If you locked...
Gabrielle in a car...
Would you be more hysterical or would Danny? Danny would.
No, I probably would.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Were they really overreacting?
No, they weren't.
Okay. Okay. They were screaming. They were crying. They were... everything. They were the worst parents in the world. How can we do this?
And the one time they actually lost her.
And the time they lost
her. They lost her in a hotel. Yes. But, you know, I just thought it was funny when they flipped out when she said mama.
Right.
Like, okay, kids are going to say mama.
Right. Has Gabrielle said mama?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And where did she get it from? Her doll also?
No, I think it's just that they say it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, but she does watch TV also.
Well.
And she does go to daycare.
Uh-huh.
And we do.
Does she say daddy?
She says daddy.
But which did she say first?
I think she said dada first, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So you didn't have to get his
No.
Lily said mama first.
You know, we are around Danny's mother all the time, and we call her mom. So they're going to hear the word.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. We'll be back with more right after this.
KNON thanks you for your pledge to our recent pledge drive. Now's the time to make your pledge count. Send your pledge to KNON, P.O. Box 710909, Dallas, Texas 75371. If you missed our pledge drive, you can still support community radio by pledging on the web at knon.org. Your pledge only counts if you pay it. KNON, Box 710909, Dallas, Texas 75371. Be sure to put the name of the show you are supporting on the check, money order, or the envelope. Questions about KNON's pledge drive? Call 214-828-9500, extension 234.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
It's time for
Those Darn Heterosexuals. At the Capitol in Austin, a heterosexual-only legislature recently opened an express security line, making sure no weapons get into the building. Members of the legislature and employees used the line, but one other category was recently added. Anyone with a concealed handgun permit can now bypass the weapons check. Lobbyists, frustrated by the lines to get in, have all been applying for the permits. Only in Texas.
Wow, yeah. Heterosexual Jacob Collins was arrested in April and charged with burglary of a New Jersey pharmacy. Police guess he was after the painkiller OxyContin. Instead, he stole a supply of oxybutynin, which treats overactive bladder. And you know, it's interesting because when my mom was in the hospital, they have all sorts of signs about this kind of thing, about drugs that look alike and sound alike.
Sound alike, yeah.
And they call them salad drugs because sound alike, look alike drugs.
Oh!
I thought that was clever.
Yeah.
And Joanne Fonzone has been seeking a divorce from rock singer David Lee Roth for 4 years. What's taking so long? Well, Fonzone isn't married to David Lee Roth. No word as to why the judge doesn't just throw the suit
out.
And that's this week's
Those Darn Heterosexuals.
Yeah, I love that in Austin, there's this express line.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a concealed handgun permit, you can just bypass the line now. I guess you can carry a gun into the Capitol as long as you have a permit.
Yeah.
Because they're saying the lobbyists who are in and out of the Capitol, but, you know, that would be the group that works in the Capitol the most, who are not employees there, they're going crazy from these lines that just take forever to go through. So they're all applying for concealed handgun permits, even if they're not planning on carrying
just
one,
so they can get in. Quicker.
Yeah. Interesting. But, so the weapons check, if you have a permit to carry a weapon, well, the Capitol is one. You know, because you can't carry a handgun into every place. You can have that
permit, you can't.
But if there's a sign that says no guns on this premises, you can't bring them into church, you can't bring them into...
a lot of restaurants you can't bring them into.
The AIDS Resource Center put up a sign that, you know, no handguns. So anyway.
Right.
Okay, this week...
the big entertainment story.
Yeah, this is the big entertainment story that we said we were going to get to. About 10 years ago, is it? The Dr. Laura protest?
Something like that.
It started where?
Here in Dallas.
Here on this show and in Dallas. And we were the first protest against her at Channel 11 when she got her TV show. Right?
And that's where we were really protesting.
Right. We were protesting the TV show, and the reason was because she was a fake homophobe. And what I mean by that was she used to be not very pro-gay. It was just one of those things that was just kind of neutral to her, and the issue was more, you know, she was putting the same values on a gay person as she was on a straight person. And then all of a sudden, as her show became more popular, and especially became more popular with the right wing, what she was doing was getting more and more and more homophobic.
Right.
Now, one of the things that we've always said is the reason, or bigotry, people who are bigots, it's not like they're anti-gay. They're anti-everybody. You know, please.
Exactly.
You know, people who are bigots. That's what we said about Fred Phelps. And, you know, so he was demonstrating against gays, and he came here to demonstrate against the Jews, and he ended up demonstrating at the Holocaust Museum. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people are like, oh, my God, what is this new antisemitism? No, it isn't. It's just bigotry. Bigotry is bigotry. People who hate everybody.
Absolutely.
Right? So her style, and this is still just setting it up, her style is, if I'm Dr. Laura, you're calling me for advice, and you're probably complaining about your spouse, or you're complaining about, you know, when you have a problem, she always turns it around, you're the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand the idea, I can't do anything about him, but I'm talking to you, so maybe I can do something with your, but she always turns it around.
She does.
That you're calling about him, but you're the problem.
Well, I have a question. Why would you call in if you? I mean, if you're going to call in, you're bound to listen. Well,
don't you get it?
Don't you understand what's going to happen? That she's going to do this to you?
That was a question that a couple of people presented when I was watching on TV. Why did this woman even call in?
Mm-hmm. Well, why does she's not unique in having called in? She gets you know, 24 calls per show, and it's just this was the one that the answer was so over the top bigoted.
Right, it was.
So the others, I'm sure, were the answers were just as bad. Mm-hmm. Here was the story:
a woman called in, black woman called in, told Dr. Laura that her white husband, I guess, was bothered. Well, her, some of his friends and family, when they come over to the house, they make racist comments.
Mm-hmm.
That made her feel uncomfortable. What should she do about it? Dr. Laura went on a tirade, pretty much, about how... And one of the complaints from this woman is that they used the N-word.
Mm-hmm.
So, in fairness, she is the one who brought it up. Well, Dr. Laura went ahead and repeated the word, what, 6 or 7 times?
Oh, yeah, repeat.
Oh, it's 11. Yeah. Okay. Okay, 11 okay. times. And she didn't say the N-word. She said the word out.
Right.
But that actually wasn't the worst part of the story.
That's what got the publicity.
That's what got the publicity. But when you hear the call, it's like that really wasn't the problem or the biggest problem. She belittled the woman, told her that, you know, if she's that hypersensitive about race issues or whatever, she shouldn't have married outside of her race.
Right. Now, that was the part that I thought was the most bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
Now, had the woman called and, you know, dear Dr. Laurent, and had asked you, my husband is doing da-da-da-da-da, and it bothers me, what would be the first piece of advice or first question you would have asked?
I think the first question off the top of my head was, well, David, have you talked to him about it?
I mean, I would have, wouldn't you have worded it out exactly the same way?
Right.
She never asked that.
Her first question was, well, give me a couple of examples of these racist statements.
Right. Now, I can understand why she would have gotten to that.
But that was the first thing out of her mouth. No. That was the first thing.
Yeah.
You know, before the show, I was presenting a situation with Alex. Yeah, eventually I would have gotten it. Well, what kinds of things did he say?
I mean, because I would be curious.
A curiosity thing. But she...
And this is a, you know, it's an advice show. But
exactly.
Advice shows are entertainment.
Exactly.
First and foremost, you know, just like with Modern Family, being over the top, it's entertainment first, and these actors and this couple and the writing is entertaining, number one.
Well, Dr. Laura, which it is entertainment because they never pointed this out on TV, but she's not a real doctor.
Right.
I don't know why.
Well, she has a doctorate.
She does have a doctorate now.
But it's like in physiology.
Okay.
Well,
it's sports physiology or something like that, but not in
Counseling or
not in counseling, not in psychology. She has no degree in that.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. So when you say not a real doctor, yeah, she has a doctorate, but it is in it is not in counseling. So she's badgering. Well, what did he say? What did he say? And she's the one who volunteered that he is using the N-word, and then Dr. Laura repeated it over and over. Laura's excuse for using
her excuse was because black comedians on HBO. She obviously had pent up issues with HBO because she repeated them over and over. Also, black comedians use the N-word during their skits on HBO, makes it okay.
And you know what? I guess I come at it from a different point of view. I understand the idea of using a word like when the gay community started using the word queer. It used to be such an insult, and it became a meaningless word. You know, a word that we describe ourselves as, and when I hear other people who are deriding us using that word, we can just laugh back in their faces at it. And people who want to do that with this word also, it doesn't work as well, but, you know.
Well, here's the insensitive and the ignorance of Dr. Laura. Just like with your example with the queer word, I still, to this day, don't use the queer word to describe.
And I don't. We never use it on the show.
I never use the word to describe myself or other gay people as queer. Mm-hmm. The only time you'll hear me use the word queer is if I'm naming the name of something. Like,
and
if I'm talking about the show Queer as Folk, well, that's the name of the show, Queer as Folk.
Right.
But I don't. So
and we don't use it here. And there's a gay show on the air, and I forgot where it is, called Queer Voices.
Yes.
That's fine. That's their show. That's not us.
That's not us.
And by us, I mean you, me, Alex, Patty. We just don't tend to use them.
And so it's ignorant of Dr. Laura to assume that just because some black people, or even a lot of black people, use the N-word, as a term of endearment with each other that all black people think is okay.
Well, it's just like some of my friends use the F word, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I do.
To talk to each other, and I find that inappropriate.
Yes.
But
and again, that's a word that we don't tend to use.
Exactly.
Yet. We don't. And so, I mean,
I don't think it's appropriate. That doesn't make it okay. It's just done. Same thing with
well,
the
again, it was just really ignorant on her part to assume that this black woman should suck it up and it should be okay because other black people use it.
You know, and if her point was, you know, the more it's just used and it's out there, the less power the word has. I get that. That is what happened with the Q word that we don't use, but you know, with queer as folk, it made that word very innocuous.
It did.
You want to call us queer? Go ahead.
Yeah. And there was another show after that with queer in the title. Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. That was pretty popular. So again, I understand that it's out there. It's just not in my. It's not in my.
We just don't
vocabulary.
Tend to use it, and I think other cities, East and West Coast, probably use it more than Dallas does. You know,
right.
Just the way.
What else did she say in the call that was
No, but here was the part. You got to the part that was the offensive part. She said, if you're going to be sensitive about race, maybe you shouldn't have married somebody who...
Outside
of your race. That's like saying, if you're going to be sensitive that your husband is a jerk, you shouldn't marry anybody at all. Well, no. The real advice was, did you talk to him about it? And why is your husband... Now, she still could have been berating him. Are you afraid to talk to your husband?
Mm-hmm.
What did your husband say about this? Why does your husband bring people into the house who would use words like that?
Right.
That was the question. That was the
or
advice.
Or she could have said something like, well, you know, obviously your husband isn't textbook racist because he married you.
Right.
But maybe he has... So colorblind when it comes to you, when he gets around his buddies, he thinks it's just not going to bother you. Talk to him. Let him know. Remind him, hey, I am still a black woman. That's not acceptable language. I'm not even a licensed therapist, and I think I gave much better advice than what Dr. Laura did.
Well, you gave advice. She never gave advice.
She never gave advice.
I don't think her purpose was to give advice.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Just to
berate her.
People. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're absolutely right, Alex. She never gave advice. Right. So it's an awful call. I heard some of the commentaries on TV from, different panelists, and they were saying, unlike our situation where we did prevent her from getting her TV show on the air.
Well,
we
didn't prevent it, but we killed the advertisers.
We killed the advertising, so they had to take it
off.
It went off. She just went back to radio. They're saying this probably will get her off the radio.
And it'll be easier now because my reaction to it was, Dr. Laura's still on the air? I mean, she's not on in this market, I don't think. If she is, she's on, a really small station, not on one that has ratings like we do here.
No, I knew she was still on the air.
You're laughing, but our ratings, without one penny of advertising, our ratings here are right in the middle.
And we don't carry
We're
something
right in the middle.
Like that.
We're right in the middle. We don't carry that kind of garbage.
I didn't even know you could say that word on the air without getting...
It's not one of the seven words.
It's not one of the seven words you
still,
can say. I know. Well, most people with common sense and even slightly PC won't say that on the air.
I mean, if we said it, we would press the button. I know that. David would reach over there.
Yes.
Well, not, for a different reason. The station has certain standards that are above and beyond what the FCC has. Certain standards like... The show before us isn't supposed to be slamming us, and we're not supposed to be slamming them. Not that we would, because we like each other.
Right. I mean, it's just a common decency respect thing that you just don't say certain words.
I mean, that's basically...
I mean, it doesn't have to be, rule illegal by the FCC to know that.
but it does, obviously.
Obviously.
Because these
for
people
her.
Who are making millions of dollars doing radio... don't know these rules. We happen to have those rules at this station that you have respect for other people.
And something else that bothered me about
it Jennifer.
Was her apology. Her apology. Yeah. She did issue an apology rather soon thereafter.
It was like the next day, wasn't it?
She had to.
It was the very next day.
She had to. It was a firestorm.
But all she apologized was for the use of the word. That's all she apologized for. It's like, you know, really, that really wasn't even the crux of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Is you using a word. Is, you know, you belittled this woman. And it was just a really, really bad call. And, you know, at the same time, like David said, we knew she was a bigot. You just usually aren't bigoted towards one group. It spills over to everybody.
Okay, here's a quick one. In Massachusetts, there's a candidate running for a district attorney position in Northwest Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. He's a Democrat running against another Democrat. The other Democrat is a strong supporter of same-sex marriage in the state. He has been all along. The other one, in 2005, signed a petition to ban marriage equality in the United States. He now says, now that he's running for office, he now says he regrets that, his wife regrets that, and he is in favor of marriage equality. Do you forgive and support this guy without any other information? Or does somebody's signing a petition keep you from supporting the guy?
That's for me personally, that's a difficult one, because part of our purpose is to educate, and through education we hope to change minds. Well,
maybe we have.
Or is he just trying to get elected now and just doing, saying whatever?
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
Yeah. And that's what I was thinking with this. You know, when I first started reading this, I said, well, I wouldn't vote for him.
Yeah.
You know, and I said, well, and especially when you have a good alternate choice. But maybe the real answer is you got to get to know the candidate a little bit better. And with elections coming up, maybe it's, you know, incumbent upon us to, mm-hmm. you know, more than just, okay, what's your position? Great, I'm voting for you. You know, and just assuming, okay, yeah, you're saying, and we really need to know whether or not that person supports.
Well, exactly. I was going to say, because their motives are so diluted, because they do want to get elected.
They do.
And so if this was just like somebody on the street who signed a petition, I would be more willing to be like, oh, well, you've been educated and changed. Than when he does it at such an opportune time mm-hmm. like this.
Right.
Right. You know, That's true. If I told you that somebody who was George W. Bush's Solicitor General is somebody that I'd like to see appointed to the Supreme Court, what would your initial reaction be?
Oh, dear God.
Yeah, and if I told you it was Ted Olson who just ran this brilliant case for us, you know, people change. We're going out with music from
the Pet Shop Boys.
And we'll be back next week with more Lambda Weekly.